Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
92.9 Podcast, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sportsbook. Bet now at Action247.com. 92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station of children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
My name is Gary Parish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Benny Doyle's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can.
Well, Daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And I hope you're not a Grizzlies fan who wants a drama-filled media day, because relatively speaking, things are pretty calm here. We don't have star players taking anti-vaccine positions. Nobody is holding out. Nobody's demanded a trade. Pretty calm here in Memphis. Not necessarily the case elsewhere around the NBA as teams gathered in various cities to discuss all sorts of things in advance of the 2021-22 season getting underway. Media days all over the country. We'll talk about them here in just a second. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 4:25, Ben Kirchwell is going to join me. College football editor at CBSSports.com. So I'll talk college football with him. Ole Miss, Arkansas, Crimson Tide. Ben Kirchhoff will be here in the next segment. Finish that, I'm going to take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point I'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, in the United States won the Ryder Cup yesterday in dominant fashion. Brooks and Bryson hugged at least twice. We'll spend a few minutes on that around 4:44. The St. Louis Cardinals remain red hot. They won again yesterday. It's a franchise record 16 straight victories. Franchise record. The St. Louis Cardinals, who I just assumed at this point had done everything, had never won 16 games in a row before yesterday. Now they're on the longest winning streak any Major League Baseball team has enjoyed since 2017. Headed for a wild card game at this moment inside Dodger Stadium. We'll talk baseball a little later on this hour. Meantime, the Yankees have taken control of the AL wildcard race, thanks to a weekend sweep of the Red Sox at Fenway. Giancarlo Stanton, historically great. I'll give you the details just before 5 o'clock. And congratulations to Yo Gotti, now part owner of DC United, a franchise that is valued at $710 million. Yo Gotti got him a piece of it. I'll tell you about how much during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always, then I will eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with the NBA because it's media day across the league in Philadelphia, Brooklyn, San Antonio, and 27 other places, Memphis included. Relative to the rest of the league, Grizzlies media day is kind of boring.
It was pretty chill, yeah.
Nobody's holding out. And nobody is taking a very public and very nonsensical anti-vaccine stance. Here in Memphis, pretty much all the focus is on basketball, and I suppose the biggest quote slash statement maybe came from the general manager, Zach Kleiman, who all but guaranteed John Morant will be an all-star this season. As he was concluding his media session, Kleiman noted that nobody asked a question about John Morant. I'm sitting there talking about the Grizzlies. Nobody asked a question about John Morant. So unprompted, he said, quote, John Morant will be an all-star this season. Just you wait. Big words from the man running the basketball side of things inside FedEx Forum. So now we get to see if John Morant can make that prediction come true. True or false, Big Bet Bennett, John Morant will be an all-star this season.
I mean, come on. The general manager said so.
So you're going with truth.
Of course.
It's a fact.
It's a fact. This is the year.
If you were putting actual percentage chance on it, what do you think? What would you put? If you were being, take your.
He's going to be an all-star. I'll go 80%.
80%?
80%. He's going to be an all-star.
I love John Morant. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's no young point guard I would rather the Grizzlies have.
Mm-hmm.
Except for maybe LaMelo Ball. I'm kidding. I would still want John Morant.
Ja.
I would still want John Morant. It's not 80%.
Okay.
There's not an 80% chance he's going to be an all-star.
I think it's 80.
It's probably about somewhere between 45 and 55. It's like almost a coin flip. I guess right in between 45 and 55 is 50. I put it at that. Sometimes people forget only so many people make all-star teams, and they're hard to make.
Very true.
Like, for a lot of different reasons, it is so much easier to make a Major League Baseball all-star game, most notably because they have to take one from every team. So Ja would have been an all-star in year one, in year two, he'd be an all-star in year three if he were a baseball player. Because Major League Baseball says we got to have one from every team, which I disagree with, by the way. The best player
The
best player on a bad team right. Who quite clearly isn't one of the 50 best players in Major League Baseball shouldn't be an all-star. But that is the way Major League Baseball does it. The NBA does not. They take a certain number from the East, certain number from the West, and those are the all-stars. Certainly Ja's got a chance, and I hope that it happens, but I'd set it somewhere around 50% as opposed to 80%. Either way, that was the scene in Memphis. People talking about Ja, Stephen Adams introducing himself to the Memphis media in spectacular fashion. In New Orleans, it was slightly different. Disclosed today that Zion Williamson had off-season foot surgery. That had never been reported before.
No. I'd be worried.
What's up, Woj and Shams? What are you guys up to?
Yeah. No, that's that doesn't sound great.
Turns out carrying 285 pounds on that frame and running and jumping a lot is bad for your feet. Who knew?
Who knew? No, that's not good.
Not good at all. So the bad news is that Zion, a phenomenal player when healthy, is currently sidelined once again. So this will make three times in three straight seasons, not to mention the time he was sidelined in his one season at Duke. So he's been away from basketball because of injuries now in four consecutive seasons. That's the bad news. The good news, maybe not for Memphis, but certainly for New Orleans and the NBA in general, because he's a star, is that Zion is expected to be available by opening night. As always, we'll see. Meantime, in Philadelphia, everybody was acting like they liked Ben Simmons way more than they actually liked
Simmons.
So that was interesting and funny. Daryl Morey, Doc Rivers, Joel Embiid all said they want Ben Simmons back. And Morey suggested, you know, that the Sixers will find Ben Simmons and withhold salary from Ben Simmons to the maximum allowed extent if he refuses to report to camp, which, of course, is what he says he's going to do. So that was the main topic of conversation in Philadelphia, the absence of Ben Simmons and the future of the franchise. But the big headline grabber from NBA Media Days clearly originated in Brooklyn, where Kyrie Irving was not allowed to attend because he remains unvaccinated.
And that's Brooklyn. It's New York and basically any California teams, right?
Well, it's different everywhere.
Okay.
But in New York, there are certain buildings, because Mayor Bill de Blasio last month, he issued an executive order that requires all New York resident pro athletes who practice or play indoors to show proof of at least one vaccine shot. And there are certain buildings in New York that you cannot enter unless you are vaccinated. And Barclays Center is one of those buildings.
Gotcha.
So when Media Day is inside Barclays Center today, Kyrie Irving's not allowed in the building.
Right.
Doesn't matter that they weren't practicing today. He will not be able to practice with them in New York.
Yeah, and that's not a Nets thing. That's a
no. That's city a New York. New York. That's yeah. a city of New York thing.
Right.
This is not an NBA rule. It's got nothing. It's not a Nets rule. This is the city of New York. You know, the Nets are going to California to San Diego for training camp, so he'll be able to train in California. But if they were doing training camp in Barclays Center, he would not be allowed to be in there right now because he's unvaccinated. He has taken zero vaccine shots because he's a conspiracy theory obsessed dum-dum. Don't ever forget, this is the same dude who once suggested that the earth is flat. Now he's leading the anti-vaccine movement among the roughly 10% of NBA players who remain unvaccinated. Like, he's the leader of that, according to a story in Rolling Stone that published in recent days. And the reason this is a super significant story, again, is because as things sit right now, Kyrie Irving will not be allowed to play home games or games at Madison Square Garden because it's also in New York. Right now, based on his status as an unvaccinated NBA player, Kyrie Irving would be required to miss 43 of Brooklyn's 82 regular season games, 41 at home and 2 at Madison Square Garden because he's not allowed in the buildings.
Right.
So when these players, whether it's Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn or Bradley Beal in Washington or Andrew Wiggins in Golden State, when they talk about, quote, it's a personal decision and that we should, quote, respect their privacy, the truth is that they sound so ridiculous to anybody who isn't also ridiculous because nothing about this is private as it pertains to them. Each of these guys is a high-profile, well-compensated professional athlete who is a part of a franchise that generates billions of dollars, largely because fans watch them do their jobs. And if they're choosing to take a stance that won't allow them to do their jobs, that's a very public matter. Nothing private about it. So Kyrie can say respect my privacy a million times if he wants, and he nearly did today. But he doesn't have any privacy on this matter because this matter will determine whether he'll be prevented from doing his very public job 52.4% of the time this regular season. And you have to wonder when his teammates will just be out on this guy.
Yeah, especially the big two, right? KD and Harden.
They're still saying all the right things.
I know they are.
I wonder what they think privately, because I'd be fed up with it. Talented as Kyrie is, and he is immensely talented. Really good. Really good. The guy's usually injured, missing, or just causing distractions for no good reason. He missed 18 regular season games last season, then the postseason. He missed 52 the year before that, 15 the year before that, 22 the year before that. At what point do his teammates, even his friends, like KD and James, say, enough is enough with you, man?
Because I would think those two guys, you know, behind closed doors would think we could probably still win pretty high level without him.
Well, I think that's true. The problem is now he's untradeable. Even if you wanted
right,
to trade
exactly.
him,
exactly.
You're going to somebody with all that money on the books who's anti-vaccine. Like,
can't risk it.
You can't trade for that guy. I mean, you could, but the trade value is not good right now.
No.
I just wonder at what point do his teammates step up and say, enough's enough. Stop with this nonsense. Get vaccinated and play, or like F off for real. For now, again, KD and James appear to be supporting Kyrie. But if he misses 43 games for dumb reasons, you'd have to think that might change. It would for me. Like, if there were strict rules on this building, in this studio, and somebody not being vaccinated who worked here made my job harder, I don't know if I have any weight around here, but if I did, I'd swing whatever weight I had around to get them removed. I'd get them removed. I love you, Bennett, but if you were an anti-vaccine moron and Dan Barron told me Bennett would have to produce the show from outside the building because he's unvaccinated, I would say I want a new producer. Fire him. A, because I wouldn't want to work for 2 hours every day in this setting with somebody for whom I would have no respect. And B, because my producer not being in this building would make my job harder. And I don't want to work with anybody who makes my job harder. Kyrie not being vaccinated makes Kevin Durant's job harder and James Harden's job harder. So it'll be interesting to see what happens if Kyrie actually refuses to budge and how the Nets will handle it. But the fact that this is even an issue on September 27, 2021 is so dumb on about a million different levels. And don't even get me started on this Bradley Beal character. This dude sounded worse than Kyrie Irving today.
Yeah.
And to me, Bradley Beal is the worst kind of science denier. Because he genuinely thinks that he's onto something. Like, he really thinks he's got some good questions.
The rest of y'all are dumb.
And making some good points. Has no idea how stupid he sounds to anybody who's not also stupid. He's like a Facebook all-star. Like, you could throw him on Facebook at any moment. He fit right in over there. Bradley Beal earlier today acknowledged that he remains unvaccinated. And when he was asked why, the star of the Washington Wizards, he said, quote, "Well, I'd like to ask the vaccinated, why are you still getting COVID? Are you serious, bro? Because we've been over this 500,000 times. To be clear, I'm all for people asking legitimate questions if they have them. But asking why vaccinated people are still getting COVID is not a legitimate question. It's a dumb question. It's a dumb question that's been answered a million times. You can literally just Google that question, and the greatest health officials in this country, articles with them explaining it will pop up immediately. This isn't hard. This isn't like something we're still trying to figure out. Well, you know, what I'm wondering is why do people who are vaccinated still get COVID? You're wondering about this? It's not something you have to wonder about. You don't have to wonder about that any more than you have to wonder how fish stay underwater all the time. You just Google, if you're interested in it, sincerely, just Google, why do fish stay underwater all the time? Figure it out in seconds. If you really want to know, this isn't some thing that we don't have an answer for. Why are people who are vaccinated still getting COVID? Like, if you're still asking that question on September 27, 2021, it's pretty obvious you're not a serious person. If you still don't understand why some vaccinated people still get COVID, you're not somebody who is interested in learning. You're just taking great pride in holding on to a stance that is intelligently indefensible. As any even decently read person knows by now, yes, the vaccinated can still get COVID. It's called a breakthrough case. They happen. But all the data shows that if you're vaccinated, you are less likely to get the virus than you otherwise would be, less likely to spread the virus than you otherwise would be, and way less likely to be hospitalized or die than you otherwise would be. Nearly every time you read about somebody dying from COVID on Facebook these days, trust, they were unvaccinated. It's still sad that they die, I guess, especially if they have kids. Just like it's sad when a drunk driver dies, especially when they have kids. But in both cases, the dead person made a terrible decision and by extension died an unnecessary death. I honestly can't imagine anything dumber than dying of a virus during a pandemic only because you declined to get 2 free shots at Kroger. I gotta think that the last thing you think before they put you on a ventilator is, man, I can't believe I didn't go get the free vaccine that would have prevented all of this. Like, that's gotta be among your last conscious thoughts, doesn't it?
Yes, 100%.
These stories have been happening for months now, and they'll keep happening for many months. because we are a country derailed because tens of millions of us are science-denying morons. Kyrie Irving is one of them. Andrew Wiggins is another. Bradley Beal is another. And the NBA's got a big problem on its hands. Because you got some high-profile players in big markets for contenders who are really at risk of missing more than half of the season. If the season started today, Andrew Wiggins would not be allowed to play home games for the Golden State Warriors. If the season started today, Kyrie Irving would not be allowed to play home games for the Brooklyn Nets. 90% of NBA players are vaccinated. This is not a problem within every organization. Greg Popovich said today, all of the San Antonio Spurs are vaccinated. And by the way, this isn't a big problem in college basketball either. I've been polling coaches. I bet I've talked to coaches at between Matt Norland and I, we've talked to coaches at 100 different Division I programs. More than half of them are completely vaccinated as teams. It's not a big problem in college basketball. It's not a big problem in some NBA franchises. But it is a massive problem for Brooklyn right now. And it is a massive problem for Golden State right now. So it'd be interesting to see how this gets resolved. Does Kyrie Irving buckle or get some exemption? Does Andrew Wiggins buckle or get some exemption? We'll see. But again, the fact that this is what is dominating media day in the NBA is obviously a big problem.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The NBA. I'll talk more about it with Jeff Calkins a little after 5 o'clock. We come back, turn our attention to college football. Ben Kercheval from CBS Sports going to join me. You listen to The Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to The Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you. life like. This is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike. Every single night, right? Every single fight, right? I was looking at the gram and I don't even like lights. I was screaming at my daddy, told me.
The United States dominated Europe in the Ryder Cup. The St. Louis Cardinals are dominating everybody. We'll talk about both of those things in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will be here a little after 5 o'clock, but right now, he's a writer-turned-editor for CBS Sports, focusing heavily on college football. It's Ben Kirch. We'll make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview, presented by The Wing Guru, online at thewingguru.com.
So, Ben, let's start with Arkansas. 4-0 now. The Razorbacks just upset Texas A&M 20-10 over the weekend. Make sense of how Sam Pittman turned this thing around so quickly and so definitively, because I'm not sure anybody, even the people who hired Sam Pittman, necessarily expected this to happen like this.
No, not nearly this quickly. This program was in shambles. I mean, holy cow, Chad Morris went all the way to China digging this thing into the ground. And he has them 4-0. Playing great defense, maybe the best hire that we don't talk about is Barry Odom. Got fired as the head coach in Missouri, goes over to Arkansas, makes an immediate impact coaching at that side of the ball last year, even though they were only 3-7. You come into 2021, Felipe Franks is gone, but you got Treylon Burks is still coming back at wide receiver. But offensively, do you have the firepower? And I don't, you know, they're not Ole Miss, they're not Alabama, they're not Florida, but I think the reason why they're so successful is they have an identity, they have a culture, and they stick with it. They know what's going to win in games. Sam Pittman obviously cutting his teeth as an offensive line coach. I think you see that week in and week out with them. They're very good in the trenches. You know, against A&M, they were breaking in a couple of new starters because they had some injuries along the O-line, and A&M is not the team that you want to try to be kind of shuffling in a new deck. And they certainly played well enough. Defensively, they can get pressure with just three or four guys, and that was really effective against Zach Calzada. So they found out what works for them, but they got a stretch coming up. Play Georgia this weekend, get Ole Miss after that. You still got LSU and Auburn down the road. Those are probably toss-up games in that SEC West division. So far, great start. Really like what I see out of them. How do they finish? We'll see, but you know, coming into the year, I thought a bowl game, getting like 6-6 would be a nice market improvement. And it, kind of a topsy-turvy year where things are a little sideways, I think Hogs can win 8 or 9 games.
It is wild. You look at their schedule. They've already got a double-digit win over Texas, a double-digit win over Texas A&M. 4-0, ranked 8th in the country, feeling good about themselves. Now they got to go to Georgia, to Ole Miss, then later in the season at LSU, at Alabama. That's almost unfair. They have to play at Alabama and at Georgia in this particular year is outrageous. Let me ask you this. I know Sam Pittman would say, no, we want to win both of them. But if you're an Arkansas fan, if you could split the next two and go into the Auburn game at 5-1, you probably feel pretty good about that, right?
Oh, you've already beat Texas and Texas A&M.
Right.
And you beat the doors off of the Longhorns. That's old Southwest Conference bad blood. I mean, you just absolutely beat them like they stole something. Like I said, this is kind of a weird year, and things are sort of falling your way right now. Take it. Enjoy it, man, right? Because it's not always going to be like that.
Talking to Ben Kirchhoff from CBS Sports. So Georgia, Arkansas – a top 10 matchup is actually an 11 a.m. game Central Time on ESPN because CBS took Ole Miss and Alabama in the 2:30 Central slot. Obviously, the Rebels are undefeated. They've got a Heisman Trophy candidate at quarterback. They can score. Do you give them a chance to go win in Tuscaloosa?
I almost did it a year ago. Lane Kiffin gave Nick Saban as close as he had to a heart attack. And for Lane, that's almost like a win, in and of itself. If there's one thing that Lane Kiffin loves, it's getting under Nick Saban's skin. And he was the guy that Saban hired, what is it, 6-7 years ago, maybe a little bit longer now, to say, look, we've got to win with offense. And he was the OG guy, and now this long run of offensive coordinators come through the program. and he's made his way back to the SEC. He has probably the best quarterback in the country right now, and Matt Corral. They've got a really good group of receivers. If you look at the way that they win games, it's almost a carbon copy with the way Alabama's been doing it, and obviously it makes sense given the connections. What you have to bank on is that the defense for Ole Miss is going to be a little bit better. So far, it's looked better. Couldn't have gotten much worse than it was a year ago. You can chalk some of that up to just new coaching staff, pandemic, you know, all that kind of stuff. They've been playing better, but obviously this will be a much tougher challenge than Louisville and Tulane. I absolutely give them a puncher's chance. I think if there is a team, at least in the SEC West, if there is a team that is built to do the things that Bama does almost as well, it's Ole Miss.
You can't win, you mentioned Matt Corral, a Heisman Trophy, you know, in September or early October, but you can certainly get out ahead of the pack. Johnny Manziel once launched himself to a Heisman by beating Alabama. Is this a similar opportunity for Corral?
Yeah, I would say so, and it also helps, too, that every preconceived notion that we had about who was going to be a Heisman contender this season, it's almost out the window. Spencer Rattler has not been playing very well. Sam Howell, his team has a couple of losses. C.J. Stroud at Ohio State, I think, has been great, but you know, Ohio State looks like it's taken a little bit of a step back. So some of it is just the opportunity that comes to you. You don't always know when that's going to be. Corral's played great the first month of the year. He has a tremendous opportunity against Alabama to, you know, you don't go up against Bryce Young directly. Those are the defenses, but you do have an opportunity to maybe have a better game overall. I think if he goes out, wins that game, I don't know how it would be anybody other than him as the front runner heading into October.
Talking to Ben Kercheval from CBS Sports. We've talked about the top of the sport with Georgia, Alabama. Slipping down to something close to mediocrity would be Clemson. The Tigers are now 2-2 after the weekend loss to NC State. What's the obvious problem with Dabo Swinney's program right now?
Obvious problem is it starts up front. Anytime you have offensive problems, you can typically start with the offensive line. I think that's absolutely the case here. They try to some different lineups, different guys at guard and tackle have not found that combination. And then when that happens, it really spreads to everything else. DJ Uiagalelei was, you know, you go back to last year's two starts against Boston College and Notre Dame. Obviously didn't win the Notre Dame game, but that was not his fault. Thought he played spectacularly. And he doesn't look confident. He doesn't look like he knows that he wants to make plays. Part of that is just the protection that you're getting up front. It's getting pressured a lot. They're not able to run the ball. And they've had this great crop of wide receivers in recent years. And these big-bodied dudes, too, 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", 200-plus pounds. You got Justin Ross back this year from his neck injury. And these guys just aren't getting separation. So there are a lot of reasons why they're not being very productive offensively. But when you can't block anybody, you really can't get anything developed. And that's just, you know, that's been their big issue. And it's been their issue against FBS opponents. Okay, you played Georgia week one. Obviously, they have the best defense in the country. You can kind of chalk it up to that. But you look back on that game several weeks later and you go, okay, some very obvious red flags that have really started to show up.
Circling back to the top of the sport, obviously Alabama is ranked number one. Georgia is ranked number two. Is it clear to you that Alabama's better than Georgia? Like, if I put them on a neutral tomorrow, who you taking?
I would probably take Alabama. Georgia is going to be really fascinating because they finally unleashed, like, this great offensive aerial attack against Vanderbilt. But it was Vanderbilt. Like, they might be the worst FBS team in the country. So you need to see a little bit more than that. But part of it with Georgia is JT Daniels hasn't been healthy. Level of competition hasn't always been that great. Or they played Clemson in week one. So it just all the pieces haven't been there yet. And right now what you have from Alabama is a team that has played a little bit better competition, won at Florida. The one thing that I'm really interested in right now is Bryce Young. He can make all the passes. He looks a little bit tepid. He doesn't really want to take off and run the ball sometimes. I think when those opportunities are there, I'll take Alabama, but I don't think that margin's very big. I think Georgia's close.
Wrapping up here with Ben Kercheval from CBS Sports. Last thing before I let you go, Former Memphis coach Mike Norvell is having a rough go of it in Tallahassee. The Seminoles are now 0-4 for the first time since 1974. And if you look at the schedule and look at that team, there's not a lot of reason to think it's going to get much better. How surprised are you that things are going this poorly for Mike? And B, is it guaranteed he's going to get a year three, or could this be a two-year deal?
I guess I'll answer the second part first, because I think it's a quicker answer. Yeah, I think he makes it to year three. There's about 16 million reasons why I think he makes it to year three. You just got rid of Willie Taggart. At some point, even if he's not the guy, GP, you've got to give him 4 years. Like, at some point, you've got to just give the guy a chance to make a run here. And he's been recruiting pretty well. That takes a little bit of time to flesh out. I know that's kind of a stock answer, but there is some truth to that. Didn't see them at 0-4, but man, every which way they've lost, they've figured out a way to lose. I mean, they came back against Notre Dame, but couldn't quite finish it off. That weird Jacksonville State loss, and then get behind against Louisville. And that's a culture thing. You got to learn how to start and finish strong. You at least are going to get a couple wins out of that if you're able to do it. They're just not there yet as a program. And while that might be a long-term indictment of Norvell, can he actually get this program turned around? Some of it you also just have to chalk up to, like, there's just some weird things that have happened to that program in the first month. I mean, the same thing happened with Penn State a year ago in 2020 when they started like 0-4, 0-5. So you've got to give them some time, but I got to say, I don't know that I love the long-term prospects of Norvell in Tallahassee.
That is Ben Kercheval from CBS Sports. Make sure you find him on Twitter at Ben Kercheval. That's BenKercheval. Tremendous stuff, buddy. I appreciate your time. Thanks for being here.
All right, man. Take care.
All right. That's Ben Kercheval from CBS Sports. When we come back, the United States won the Ryder Cup in dominant fashion yesterday. St. Louis Cardinals remain.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Red hot, and would you believe Yo Gotti is now the part owner of a professional soccer team. Talk about it all next. You listen, Gary Parrish Show, we're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. God killer, this Tokyo and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus death gun on the car dealer. Just bought a demon, I'm screaming about the car dealer. The last temptation of Mike, but I'm a God digger. Tell me as a Bob that the God don't need a job. And if I did, the oligarchs would be missing, murdered, and robbed. This is Bonaparte and he paid with Tucson. And they went on a world conquest, tearing your Bonaparte. Michael remained murderous, but still virtuous. Wait to kill the petty, you found out the church services. Not a holy man, but a moral in my perverseness. So I support the sex workers unionizing their services. He says you'll love me, ayy.
Jeff Calkins is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. We'll get back to Media Day in the NBA. Calkins will be here in the next segment. Right now, though, I got 4 stories I'd like to discuss.
4 stories at 444. Brought to you by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Covering your smile. 4 notable stories at 444. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's 4 notable stories at 444. Story number 1.
Final score at the Ryder Cup, United States 19, Europe 9. Big Bet Bennett, it was a blowout. We blew out the entire continent of Europe.
How about that?
How about that?
Good on us.
Good on us. Started celebrating.
Didn't they invent the game?
I believe they invented the game.
And we just took it from them.
We took it from them. Huh? Just like this land.
That's damn right.
That's how we just take things from Europe.
USA. USA.
In fairness, this land was not owned by Europeans. The Europeans took it from...
Correct.
The Europeans took it from the natives, and then we took it from the Europeans. This isn't a history class, Big Bet Bennett.
Sorry. Okay. The Ryder Cup.
This isn't a history class. It's a celebration of American golf. 19-9. Biggest margin of victory since the event went to this format back in 1979. And Dustin Johnson did something that had only been done 4 times prior. He went 5-0-0 in his 5 sessions. As we discussed last week, the Ryder Cup format is 2 sessions on Friday, 2 sessions on Saturday, and then a session on Sunday that is all 12 players from each team playing in singles. Most people do not play in all 5 sessions. In fact, almost nobody plays in all 5 sessions. But Dustin Johnson did, and he went 5-0. He won both sessions of team golf, or all 4 sessions of team golf, and then he won his singles match as well. 5-0-0, becoming just the 5th player in history to ever do that. You want to know? You mean to break this down? Let me tell you how the Americans ran away with this?
Let's hear it.
We're just way better than the European players, and we've got way more great players than they do. That would be my breakdown of the Ryder Cup.
That makes sense.
How about this, to sort of hammer home that point? Yesterday's singles matches got started, and the Americans only needed like 3.5 points. There's 12 points on the table. They only need 3.5 of them to get the Ryder Cup. And we were favored in 11 of the 12 singles matches. That's how much better we are than them.
Okay.
Like, almost all of our golfers are better than almost all of their golfers, John Rahm being an obvious exception. The only match that the Americans weren't favored in was John Rahm, Scottie Scheffler. And then Scottie Scheffler smoked him 4-3.
Mm-hmm.
So we ran away with the Ryder Cup. They said that when they woke up on Sunday, they were trying to get to 20 points. They were like, let's blow these dudes out 20-8. Instead, it was 19-9. So it fell a little short of that, but still a dominant performance that culminated with Brooks and Bryson hugging at least twice.
I saw the video.
Wasn't it sweet?
It was very sweet. You know, it did look like, you know, Brooks was just going for the, hey, man, you know.
And then Bryson pulled him in. There's no doubt.
Bryson really wanted that.
Bad.
Bad. Like, he was ready to embrace.
Brooks was like, people are watching me right now.
I need to do this.
Yeah, like, we're on the green. Everybody's walking around, shaking hands, hugging, celebrating. I know people are watching me. I know cameras are on me right now. I don't know which ones. But I promise you, on that NBC crew, that director in that truck is told one of his cameras, you stay on Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
And told another of his cameras, you stay on Bryson. If anything happens between these two, we are not going to miss it. And Brooks and Bryson are smart enough to know that. So I think both of them, especially Brooks, knows this. The camera's on me. Because like, Brooks is the bully in this one.
Correct.
Like,
yes.
Like, Bryson might deserve everything he gets, but Brooks is the bully.
Yes.
And so you're waiting to see, will Brooks make any sort of congratulatory move towards Bryson? And at some point, he does walk to Bryson. Like, Brooks initiates it, which I think is the way it has to go down. I think if you're looking for that moment, it's got to be Brooks initiating it. Because I don't think Bryson ever wanted all of this. It's Brooks who hates Bryson way more than Bryson hates Brooks. And so it's got to be Brooks that initiates it, and he does. He walks over and sticks his hand out, and he is very clearly going for the handshake, good job.
Hey, man, yeah, good job.
And Bryson was like, I'm hugging you, bro.
Yeah, Bryson wanted the hug. He wanted, like, the, you know when you see, like, the NBA players put the towels over their face, right, or, like, their hands over their face? He wanted, like, that moment.
Oh, yes,
like, to talk in each other's ear, like let's show the people.
It was clear that Brooks was not going for the hug, but then Bryson went for the hug, and then you're in an awkward spot because, again, you know these cameras are on you. And then you've just undid your good gesture if you pull away from the hug. Then the story is not Brooks going over to shake hands with Bryson. It's Brooks pulling away from the hug.
Yep.
So at that point, once Bryson goes for the hug, the only thing you can do is hug.
That's right.
And so he hugged.
He hugged.
And obviously that made the rounds. And then in the press conference, the last thing that happened at the press conference is they hugged again. And that one looked more jokey, like sincere, like let's do this for the cameras thing. But I went, and I know people say, hey, they still hate each other. And they might. Like, I don't know these guys. But I will say, they just spent more than a week together. And sometimes when you spend time with somebody that you have built up this hate for, and you're pretty sure you hate them, but then you spend time with them, and you're like, you know, this guy's not so bad. You know, he's not the worst guy in the world. He's not my best friend, but he's like not the person I had created right in my head. Like I've done that with people. Like I don't see people for a while, and then I hear things about them, or I just see them say things on Facebook, and I'm like, I'm glad I don't see that person anymore. Like I really don't. I just know at this point in my life, I wouldn't like that person at all. So I'm glad I don't see that person. And then you end up randomly bumping into them somewhere, and you end up spending, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes with them. And then you walk away from that going, oh, you know what? He loves his kids. It seems to be doing okay. And like, not the worst guy in the world. Maybe not what I had settled on in my head.
Yeah.
And you go back home, you get back on Facebook and you're like, nope, it is. It's the worst guy in the world.
Yeah,
he just fooled me for a minute at the gas station or whatever. My point though, is that I do think it's possible sometimes to get around somebody and go, okay, I know I hated this person. Let me try to figure out why exactly did I start hating this person, and should I continue to do it? Like, you know, he's a different guy than me. I think he's a little weird. He annoys me a bit, but like, you know, works hard. Is very good at what he does. When we were teammates, he was a good teammate. He, you know, said all the right things. Didn't do anything to offend me over the past 2 weeks while we were here in Wisconsin. Maybe we can let all that go in the past.
Sure.
I think that's possible. I don't know that it's likely, but I certainly think it's possible because they did seem to enjoy the reaction they got from people and their own other teammates when they made good, when they hugged. Like if you go find that picture of Bryson and Brooks hugging at the press conference, not on the green, but at the press conference, the entire team, I saw somebody tweeted earlier, and they're like, this has got to be made into a poster. The entire team is behind them cheering like they're watching somebody make a putt to win the Ryder Cup. But that's not what they're watching at all. They're just watching Brooks and Bryson smile and hug and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think they enjoyed that reaction because they leaned into it a lot. And it was interesting that Steve Stricker said afterwards, this is how much we came together as a team. Brooks and Bryson wanted to play together, which I know why if you're Steve Stricker, you don't do it, because if it backfires, if they don't win and this is close, people start really second guessing what you're doing. Like you knew those guys deep down don't like each other. You put them in an alternate shot situation. You knew that they were going to be easily agitated by each other. You were trying to generate headlines and tweets as opposed to just trying to do what you're supposed to do, which is put your team in the best position to win the Ryder Cup. So I get why you wouldn't do it. But I do wonder, like, when the United States went up so big on Friday, like, why not do it on Saturday? You're up.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to pull eyeballs away from college football, Brooks and Bryson playing together in an alternate shot would do it. Like, I'm telling you, whatever college football game, if I only had one screen, and they said you could only watch one thing, any college football game that's on, or Brooks and Bryson playing alternate shot, I'd say I'm watching Brooks and Bryson play alternate shot. So I didn't understand not doing it on a you know, coming into the thing, but you get to set your lineup on Friday night for Saturday. And once you're up pretty big on Friday, or even pretty big after the Saturday morning session, I do think there's a way to say, you know what, let's have some fun with this. If we can chug beers before session four, maybe we can have a little fun with this and put Brooks and Bryson together. Either way, they didn't do it, but it was a successful weekend for U.S. golf, and I had a good time watching it.
Story number two.
St. Louis Cardinals are rocking and rolling, Big Bet Bennett.
Unbelievable.
You have gone to Disney World and come back.
Yes,
they ain't lost a game.
They haven't lost a game. I noticed, trust me.
16-game winning streak. It's a franchise record. St. Louis Cardinals, I thought, had done everything. They've never had a winning streak longer than this. As long as this. Longest winning streak in Major League Baseball since the Indians, the franchise soon to not be known as the Indians.
Oh, that's right.
Won 22 straight back in 2017. So the Cardinals' magic number is now one, which means they'll secure a postseason spot with one more win or one more loss by the Phillies or Reds. So this thing is over. The Cardinals are going to be the second NL wildcard team, and they're going to play a wildcard game in California, either against the Giants or the Dodgers. Right now, with a week left in the season, Giants got a two-game lead on the Dodgers in the NL West. So right now it would be at Dodger Stadium, but it could be in San Francisco against the Giants. Either way, the Cardinals are going to be in the postseason because they have won 16 games incredibly in a row.
Story number three.
New York Yankees also hot, taking control of the AL wildcard situation. They just swept the Boston Red Sox at Fenway. So now the Yankees have a one-game lead over Boston in the AL wildcard race, and the Blue Jays are one back of the Red Sox, the Mariners two back, Oakland three back. So if the AL wildcard game had to be played today, it would be Red Sox at Yankees. And it would be that because the Yankees just won three in a row with Giancarlo Stanton knocking the ball all over the place. He had a historically great series for a Yankee in Boston. He was 7-for-12 in the series with three homers and 10 RBI. Giancarlo Stanton became the first Yankee with 10-plus RBI in a three-game series at Fenway ever.
Jeez.
Nobody else has ever done this. The previous record was 9 RBI in a three-game series at Fenway by Yankee legend Joe DiMaggio. And Stanton homered last night. Did you see this, by the way?
No.
Sunday Night Baseball, 448 feet. Knocked it clear. I mean,
damn.
Completely out of Fenway Park. Just killed it. Exit velocity was 116.4 miles per hour. So that is his 21st homer, Stanton, of at least 116 miles per hour. Exit velocity, tracked by StatCast, which dates back to 2015. He's got 21 of those. That's 7 more than anybody else in Major League Baseball in the same span. Last night was his 40th homer since 2015 of at least 445 feet. That is 15 more than anybody else in Major League Baseball. So, yeah, Giancarlo Stanton strikes out a lot. I know it can be frustrating, but he was awesome this weekend for Boston. And boy, when he connects, basically nobody connects like him.
Story number four.
Congratulations to Yo Gotti. He's now a part owner of DC United. Yo Gotti, rapper, record label owner, now soccer team owner.
That's pretty cool.
He purchased reportedly between 2-3% of DC United, which is an MLS club, of course.
Kind of random.
Maybe not, though, and I'll tell you why in a second.
Okay.
He purchased between 2-3% of DC United, and DC United is currently valued at $750 million. So if you do it at 2.5%, like split the difference, it's like roughly $19 million, a $19 million investment from Yo Gotti.
It's a lot, yeah.
I mean, I don't know what Yo Gotti's pocketbook looks like, but if you got $19 million to throw at a soccer team, seems like you're doing okay, doing really well. The connection, and I don't know this to be true, Yo Gotti released a statement that said that his son turned him onto the sport of soccer, and that's why he wanted to get involved. It is worth noting, and again, I don't know if this is the connection. This story came late afternoon, and I didn't really have time to look into it. But Jason Levien is the general controlling owner.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.